God's grace and mercy and peace be with you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus, dear friends. Our text is the gospel lesson that we just heard read a moment ago. An elderly-looking gentleman, perhaps about 80, was walking along the walkway at Muscle Beach in Venice, California. There were a number of young men working out with weightlifting, and he stopped and said, "Oh, gee, that's kind of interesting. Mind if I try it?" And of course, they sort of chuckled among themselves, but they said, "Oh, sure, go ahead." So he started with some lighter weights and just put them up real quickly, and they were kind of surprised. But then he started to increase the weight, and it got heavier and heavier. And soon he was lifting more weight than any of these young men could match. They were looking at each other and saying, "Are you kidding me? How can this be, this old geezer who was able to lift more weights than any of the rest of us?" Well, it turns out that he was in disguise, and he was a much younger man who was a world champion weightlifter. You gotta be kidding. That's probably what Jesus' disciples were thinking when he said to them on the Sermon on the Mount that we had just heard part of, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." They had to be thinking, look, the Pharisees are the most religiously active people in town. They are trying very hard to fulfill all of the laws of Moses, all 613 of them. So if they won't make it, who is going to be worthy? You see, according to the Jewish faith, the covenant relationship with God was a gift from God. But, and that's a big but, you have to do your best to maintain that covenant, and then God will do the rest. And so the Pharisees spent all their lives trying to fulfill all of these 613 laws and rules, not just the Ten Commandments. Also, there were all kinds of rules about purification, about the way you cooked your food kosher, about staying away from unclean people like Gentiles or people with leprosy and things like that. And they did their level best to keep all of those rules. And they were doing it, in fact, much better than anybody else around could even imagine they would do it, okay? So if they couldn't make it through their works, the disciples were probably thinking, who could possibly get in then? What is Jesus saying? Especially when he says, "Don't think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I haven't come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." And then he says, every one of those 613, even with the smallest little dot or comma or question mark, all of them are included. My goodness. Did Jesus mean that all of us should immediately become Pharisees and try our best to do all of these rules and regulations? Is that what Jesus was getting at? No, he was actually speaking against the Pharisees, because they were keeping all these physical laws and rules and rituals and commandments outwardly, but in their hearts, they were missing the point. They didn't get the deeper meaning of the commandments. Remember what Jesus said, talking to a teacher of the law, about the summary of the law? Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. It's all about love, folks. That's truly keeping all of the law. And that's what Jesus said was lacking among those Pharisees. They were not all about love They were all about keeping outward rules, but they missed the spirit of the law. They got the letter of the law, but they missed the spirit of the law. The Pharisees, you see, prided themselves in being able to say, look, I'm keeping all of these rules and all of these commandments, and I thank you, God, that I'm doing that, and not like other people who are not keeping them so well. Jesus called them on that. He said, it's all a sham. You're a bunch of hypocrites. Because you said you were keeping the law, and outwardly you were trying to observe them, but inwardly you didn't get it. You didn't really understand all the point of all of those laws and rituals and regulations. And so Jesus went on in the Sermon on the Mount to give an example of the difference between the outward letter of the law and the inner spirit of the law. The example that we have in our lesson is that of adultery. What does the commandment say? I mean, not adultery, but murder. What does the commandment say? We all know it. Let's say it together. 1, 2, 3. Thou shalt not kill. Right? We all know that one. And the Pharisees knew it very well. And they could say with pride and with arrogance, I am keeping the commandment because I have not killed anybody. Chalk that one up for me, see? But Jesus says, no, it's a lot deeper than that. If you've even thought about being angry with your neighbor or hurting your neighbor in any way, even if you don't do it outwardly, even if you haven't committed anything like murder, if you had the thought in your heart, it's already a sin. And it's just as bad in God's law as if you've done the actual deed. So you see what I'm getting at here? You see what Jesus is talking about? He says, it's not enough to say I haven't murdered. If you even look at your neighbor in some sort of angry or vindictive or destructive and abusive fashion, you are already breaking that law. But Jesus says, if you keep that inner law, it's not to get any credit for it. If you catch the spirit of the law, then you do it because you're in tune with God's loving heart. You see, Jesus taught us that our good relationship with God is not dependent on what we do. It's a gift. No strings, no conditions, no keeping of the law to a certain extent. So the real righteousness that Jesus is talking about is buying into God's gift of salvation. Real righteousness is humbly accepting God's love for us, His forgiveness for us, His acceptance of us, and then in humble gratitude, living the gift, showing that gracious love toward others. That's what Jesus came to show us and to show all people, folks. In fact, He died on the cross in order to make clear to you and me that all of our debts are covered. All of our sins are forgiven. God pays for it by making the ultimate sacrifice of Himself on the cross. We are covered of all of our sins so that we're freed to live for God. Our danger, of course, is getting Pharisaic, isn't it? Getting legalistic about following Jesus. Getting legalistic about being a good church member. Getting kind of self-righteous about not getting out there on the street and doing some of these terrible, sinful things that we see other sinners doing. We have the danger of pointing to those other people and saying, I thank you, God, I'm not as bad as they are. And then you're in the business of being a Pharisee because you're trying to justify yourself. We're trying to somehow make ourselves look worthy, as if we could ever do that. We look at the news media and we see thieves and robbers and murderers, and we say, I'm better than that. No, you're not. Before God, you're no better than the worst sinner that you see in the news. That's what's got to get through to each of us. And when it does, then we thank God for the fact that we have a new covenant with God. Not the old covenant of law, not a conditional relationship with God. We have a new covenant, Jesus teaches us. A covenant that says we are saved by grace and by grace alone, God's gift. And trusting that gift and living that gift is what God means for our lives to be about. And that's what it means to follow Jesus, to follow his steps in living the gift, doing the things of the kingdom, loving in ways that people need, meeting real needs, giving a listening ear to someone who's hurting, taking the time to stop to give a hand to someone who has a heavy load, visiting someone who's in the hospital, sending a card to someone who is struggling or has lost a loved one. Those are the things that God wants us to do, not to gain any credit or brownie points, but simply as an expression of his love for us. Then we are keeping every jot and tittle of the law. You get it? When you show his love, all the law is being fulfilled. That's what Jesus says. And he wants you and me to share that marvelous good news with everyone else, to let others know who are still struggling, who are living conditionally, trying to justify themselves, trying to look worthy. He wants us to let them know that they have this gift too. It means that they have to humble themselves and accept that it's a gift that they can't pay for. But it can free them to live a whole new kind of life, a life of grace, a life of mercy, a life of love. You and I have the opportunity to deliver that good news to others, to neighbors, to family members, to fellow workers. Whomever God puts us in contact with, we can show and tell that good news. May God help each of us to live and to show that gift in our lives. Not a matter of letter, but in the Spirit. Amen. And may the peace of God that goes beyond our human understanding keep your hearts and your minds in faith in that Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.